T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I've been around this league long enough. They're all big games. They're all important. Obviously, once you get to this time of year, the games, I guess, mean a little bit more because, you know, you can start seeing the playoff picture. You know, it's not that far out from us as where we stand right now. And so this is going to be a team that is obviously going to be in the playoffs, and we have to come out and show that we can compete with a team of this caliber. But if we don't win, it's not like it breaks our season. And so I think that's where people oftentimes like a must-win big game. If you don't win this game, that don't mean you're going to do anything. And so we're going to go out here and compete. We'll obviously try to come away with a W, but understanding that we have, you know, a bigger picture here. And so this game is not going to define us. So we want to go out here and try to beat these guys.
That is Bills linebacker Lorenzo Alexander, was on yesterday with Jeremy and Nate. If you missed the interview, it is available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. 803-0550 to join us as we talk about the Bills and the Ravens with you. 888-550-2550. I have a question about a coaching decision about Sunday's game to get to in just a second. Let's go to Steve and Tonawanda. You're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
So, I just wanted to call. I've actually lived in Buffalo for 20 years. I moved here from Montreal when I was 15 years old, and I've been a big Bills fan. I've been listening to your show for a long time, and I've never called in before because, you know, my mom raised me, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. And this is the first time in I don't know how many years I have something nice to say about the Bills. And I've been excited in the past, but I'm just beyond excited this season. I'm enjoying the season more than I can ever imagine. The Bills are, it's really, there's not words for it. It's just been so much fun, and I just wanted to express my excitement. The first playoff game I saw with the Buffalo Bills was 2 years ago, and I think I cried when the Bengals scored that touchdown. And just being a part of this season has been fun. It's fantastic to be able to speak positively about my team to other fans and to other people. And, gentlemen, I love the show. And one last thing before I go, this, I know there's not a whole lot to talk about with what I'm saying, but, Jeremy, what happened to you in the past couple months, my heart is out to you completely. I know it's not lost on me that that happened to you, and I just wanted to extend my condolences. But I appreciate you taking my call, gentlemen, and I hope you have a great day and a Merry Christmas.
Thanks very much, Steve.
Yeah, it is. It's been the season that, you know, I don't know anybody expected 9-3. And that's why we were talking earlier about the game, and it hasn't sold out. And people were, you know, we're getting some texts and tweets about some people are, you know, it's the battered fan base. They're waiting for the inevitable, the blowout loss Sunday or the collapse down the stretch and all that stuff. But I look at it the other way. I'm with you. You know, whether it's opportunistic because of the schedule, whatever the case may be, the AFC's down, who cares? They're winning. It's fun. They're playing relevant games. We're sitting here. They're not in the hunt. They're in a playoff spot. You know, the team, there are other teams chasing them. There are other cities that are talking about looking at the Bills schedule going, all right, if we run the table and we get the Bills, oh, the Bills could lose 3 of their next 4. You're in the driver's seat, which is a great position to be. And I think you're watching, as I said, you know, the defense has been pretty constant, right? It's been good for the most part this whole season, but it's been fun to also watch the development of the young quarterback and the strides that Josh Allen has taken with the offense these last 3 games, and some of the young players that are contributing, you know, like Singletary and Dawson Knox. And as I said, Josh on the big stage and how he passed with flying colors in the Thanksgiving Day game against Dallas. I think as a Bills fans, I don't know that you could have scripted it much better other than to say, if New England was behind you in the division, it's been an exciting run. Knock on wood, it continues. I'm with you, Steve. I think you got to be enjoying this. You can't, if you're sitting there worried about if there's a collapse or when there's a collapse, or, you know, it's just you're denying yourself the pleasure of enjoying the football season and seeing all this stuff happen before your eyes with, you know, with McDermott too and Bean and the roster and all this. A lot of things are paying off right now, and I think it's a great spot to be in if you're a Bills fan.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I got a question about the coin toss. Chris tweeted in, here's a question. D Do you still defer the toss or elect to receive if you have the option? Go out bold, or still try to get the ball at halftime? My guess is he would, if they won, I think he would defer.
Well,
has he done it? He's done it once this season where he won the toss and took the ball, I thought.
I would always defer.
Yeah. I thought there was one game where he won a toss and he took the ball. I can't remember.
I would probably always defer. People have been deferring for a long time. One thing I thought about, though, is sometimes in a game like this, you will decide you can't. If you defer, that means you get the choice in the second half, and you do actually pick again.
And maybe, you know what, the wind, too. How windy is it? Maybe that factors into McDermott's decision.
That's my question here. Yeah. Do you, if you win the toss, you want to be able to pick the direction of the wind in the second half?
Yeah.
So you would choose to receive. Because then Baltimore gets the choice
their
in the second half,
right,
and they would
right.
definitely choose the ball. They wouldn't choose the wind. Right. I don't think. Hmm.
Yeah, because you get three choices if you win the toss, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Kick, receive, or
wind
direction.
Whatever, direction, right.
Or direction, right? I have that right?
Yeah, I believe you are correct, yes.
And there's almost no chance, if you take the ball in the first half, that Baltimore at the second half is going to say, yeah, you can have the ball, we'll take the wind.
Yeah.
That would be my reason to say receive. So make them pick the ball to start the second half.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, most games, wind is not a big enough factor that you would do that. Sometimes, and we've seen it in overtime where a coach decides, I'll take this direction because, you know, you go ahead and take the ball. I think the wind is important enough here. And that has come back to bite a couple of coaches for sure. So, I mean, you know, we're getting into coin tosses here.
It's the nitty gritty. Well, you know, I think some of it
here
is.
Here you go. In the Eagles game, the Bills won and took the
ball.
That's
what it was. Okay.
And is that why they did it? Because make them pick the ball in the second half, so you pick your wind direction in the second half.
Was it really windy that day?
Yes,
it was. Yeah.
That was the windiest
day. So that wasn't about, we're going to have to outscore Baltimore. It wouldn't necessarily be, we need more points than they do, give us the ball. It would be more about...
Both. I don't see why it wouldn't be both.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, in either scenario, on a non-windy day, when you're just picking about possession, you're doing it because you think it's better for your ability to score points and to know what you've got to get to, right? And on a windy day, I think you can get two birds, one stone. The difference is you might not defer because you basically get two choices with that.
Haven't had a chance to look at it, but before we get to this next call, for what it's worth, because this gentleman is on with Shope and the Bulldog a lot, Aaron Schatz, Football Outsiders, has an article up on the development of Josh Allen. And Mr. Schatz was taking some angry tweets from Bills fans earlier this week with comments about Josh Allen. I guess that people thought it wasn't enough praise. So if you have ESPN Plus, Insider, whatever, the rise of Josh Allen is one of the items, the lead item, in Aaron Schatz's Football Outsiders column at ESPN.com. I will take a glance at it when we get a break. Anthony in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
An officer, and I'm licensed by that.
Oh, he's talking to somebody else.
Should I go back and listen to the conversation?
No.
I was afraid that would get us
Who
in
knows?
Trouble. We'll go to Aaron in Buffalo. Aaron, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, with the Cowboys loss to the Bears last night and that taking them under 500, that's been a point of conversation for a lot of people about the Bills' strength of schedule this year. Does that change either of your opinions about the Bills' win over them on Thanksgiving now?
Not really, but I will say that you kind of have to admit something here, and that's if you're willing to say beating Baltimore would be a really big win, you know, why do you say that? Because Baltimore has beaten good teams, and Baltimore is definitely good, right? So if you're valuing wins based on who teams have beaten, then you have to value wins on who teams have beaten. So I'm not taking anything away from what's happened with for the Bills' win. They might have been the team that continued Dallas's slump or spiral. I mean, Mitch Trubisky throwing for three touchdowns and running for another against them might tell you that their defense is pretty bad, right? The Bears, whose offense has been horrible first stretches of the season, they get 31. It's a short week, whatever. I don't think you have to totally go through and audit what happened, but you know, some people get really mad when you do this, and I just say, if you think Baltimore is an important win because of who Baltimore has beaten, then yeah, you're evaluating the other teams that you've beat. I mean, to be honest, beating the Dolphins twice became a little bit more impressive as the Dolphins have won a couple games.
Yeah.
When the Dolphins,
the Tennessee win looks nice.
Right. Think about when the Dolphins came here. When the Dolphins came here the first time, the fact that the Bills were losing at halftime, right? They're losing at halftime?
Yeah, they were. Well, they were losing going into the fourth quarter.
It was a travesty.
Mm-hmm.
This is, I mean, I call the Dolphins an XFL team. Turns out, okay, they're plucky.
Right.
They've beat a couple teams. So, you know, I think I would say that every win and loss kind of changes as the season goes a little bit.
I guess I think where the question is going is, are the Bills a paper tiger? Like, it doesn't change my thought. I think their defense is good enough to be in the game with anybody. I think their offense is improving to the point now where I feel even more confident about their ability, if they're in a wild card game, to go on the road and win the game. So, no, I don't think they're a paper tiger, paper lion, or whatever.
Yeah. By the way, Texter, thank you. It was not a short week for Dallas. They played Thursday. It was a full week for Dallas.
Yeah, that's right. They had 7 days.
And did the Bears play on Thanksgiving? Yes.
Yes, they played Detroit.
So they each got a full week. Okay, yeah. So never mind. Dallas defense is just terrible. I take back the short week part.
All right, we'll try Anthony one more time. Anthony.
Hey, Howard, I'm sorry about that. My bad.
What, were you ordering pizza? What was going on there?
Oh, no, you know, I did something.
That's all right. I don't need to know. I that was a new one for us. Sometimes we'll go to someone and we hear us on delay, but I've never actually gone to a call and heard another conversation. I was just worried. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Howard, I want to argue with you on one thing, but I'm trying to keep it light here. But let me just stick to last time I called you, I went nuts. We went at it on the offense, and I wanted some changes. And thank God that Coach McDermott listened to me and not you. But
what were the changes that you wanted that I said no to?
Oh, I wanted Dable upstairs.
I mean, I don't know that it's a big deal, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. But Josh Allen is at his best when he's calling the plays, improvising, and making things happen, okay? He's a throwback, like Jim Kelly, like even a Terry Bradshaw, Peyton Manning. No huddle with tempo. He does it fast. He slows it down. That's his game. And when Coach McDermott went to him a couple of weeks ago and said, play fearless, I'm giving you the game, that's what he needed to do. Leave the kid alone. You were saying go to a two-back offense. No way.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, he definitely
I never said that.
Two-back offense.
You know, why would I say that? I never said that.
I thought you said try a two-back offense.
Well, I'd try anything to get the running game going, but I didn't say let's go to a two-back offense. That's archaic.
I apologize for that. Then don't do that. I'm just saying, McDermott, when you look at this, when he was Carolina's coordinator, he allowed 19 points a game when they went in the Super Bowl 50. They should have won that game. Right now, he, with Leslie Frazier, and Leslie Frazier should get a chance to be a head coach, they're only allowing 15 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
We have a legitimate chance to be world champions. I feel that. Oof. I feel Bills Mafia feels that. I have complete confidence in our quarterback. When he needs help and he comes to the sidelines, talk to Ken Dorsey, talk to Barkley, even talk to Coach McDermott. Stay with what you're doing. The no huddle works. That's our identity. That's our offense. Go Bills.
And couple points. One, when you say no huddle, I just want to make sure we explain this properly and differentiate this. You say no huddle. I know I do. Okay. Older fans are going to go, oh, yeah, Kelly, no huddle. Kagan. This is not a no huddle where they snap the ball with 25 seconds on the clock or 20 seconds on the clock. They're using no huddle predominantly. So, Josh, well, first, the defense doesn't substitute. I think they've made it simpler for Josh because he's got mostly 11 personnel, the same personnel group, and they're using no huddle. This is the Jets opener. In the opening game against the Jets, the Bills didn't huddle a lot. They had Josh at the line of scrimmage. So 20 seconds left, Dable's still in his headsets. He's looking over the defense. He can make his pre-snap reads. He can change protection. He can audible the play, whatever. He's not sitting in the huddle, coming out, and with 6 seconds left at the line going, crap, what do we do now? So for me, the no huddle is about giving Josh more time to analyze what needs to be done while he's whatever, shotgun, under center, whatever the case may be. It isn't necessarily about they're running a fast offense and they're calling plays with, you know, we're breaking plays off every 15 seconds. That's what the Bills did when they were no huddling in the 90s. This to me is a little bit different. The Dable thing upstairs, whatever. I mean, maybe that's it. I think it's more about what they decide to do philosophically than Brian Dable upstairs is why they've won the last three games. I think it is more about the no huddle, the personnel they're using, what they're doing with Josh Allen. And maybe Josh did have someone come to him and say, hey, kid, don't worry so much about every single turnover. Just go play the game of football. If they did, good for them.
I think the biggest thing to come out of the call is legitimate chance to be world champions.
Oh,
I do not.
I don't think that right now.
I
call me Monday.
I do not think the majority of Bills fans think that. I do think that however many there are, the number will quadruple, mm-hmm. quintuple on Monday.
Call me Monday. If
they
win. Right. Yes.
That's – and I don't mean to – right now that sounds ridiculous. Like you roll your eyes like, I mean, come on. They're having a good year. The idea that they could win the Super Bowl, come on.
Yeah.
They beat Baltimore. It's like, well, all right, you know, I'll listen to that.
Well, that's the
because
thing.
Because you can beat the Steelers. You can, if you can beat the Patriots, now you're home for these games. And
but if
it starts to get really weird when we get into that territory. But I just think until this game,
yeah,
it still sounds maybe ridiculous is a little bit strong, but it sounds like, okay, you can have that. I'm not close to that yet.
Well, this goes to the point about the Dallas game, okay, and the people that are calling in or texting saying, hey, guys, that win in Dallas doesn't look as good because they just lost to Chicago, and Chicago's not making the playoffs, most likely. If they win Sunday, if the last thing on your list about the Bills, whether you're going all in or not, but there's one more item left, who have we beaten? And you thought you could have used the Dallas game, and maybe you're not impressed enough with the Tennessee game. Well, that goes out the window if you beat Baltimore on Sunday, because Baltimore is the top team in the conference, in the league. Look at in this win streak. New England, one of the top teams in the conference, right? Blew the living daylights out of them. Houston is a division leader, one of the playoff teams right now in the conference. Blew the doors off them.
We're forgetting one team that they lost to.
They did lose to Cleveland.
The other team that they lost
Pittsburgh,
to.
Oh, Pittsburgh. No, what was the other loss?
Kansas City. They lost to the Chiefs.
Right.
And the Chiefs lost a couple games without Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, the Chiefs hit their rough spot, and I think it's behind them.
Yeah, the Chiefs are still there.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be that's still a anyway, but to the point about Baltimore, I think you'd have to win this game. Like, I can tell you they're going to get to 10 wins and they're going to make the playoffs. And they could go on the road as a wild card team and win a game, maybe not in Kansas City. But anyway, if you beat, but are you legitimate world, like, Super Bowl contender? No, I wouldn't say that. I feel better about how they're playing. But if you beat Baltimore, like, that's the team, right? Here's San Francisco, who thought, you know, hey, we're really good. They lost to Baltimore. So you got to win Sunday to take this discussion to another level. I thought earlier in the week when we were doing, could you catch New England, right? Because New England had lost to Houston. We were thinking about the division on Monday. It still seems like a far-fetched idea. If you beat Baltimore and Kansas City beats New England, we're having the discussion about the division and possibly being a top seed in the conference and a home playoff game. All that stuff would be on the table if you beat Baltimore. But you have to do that first. Let's see. Hey, speaking of Baltimore, Dan in Baltimore. You're on WGR on Football Friday. Go right ahead.
Good morning, fellas, and thank you for your service. Hey, guys, I attended the Baltimore game last year, first game of the season, through a torrential rainstorm. It was brutal. It was awful. And I got to tell you, it was the first opportunity to see Josh Allen in action after Nate Peterman was pulled. Now, my buddies are coming up there to Buffalo here to watch the game, root for the Ravens. And I'd like to wish them, obviously, the same setting as myself. I hope it's awful. I hope it's brutal. Go Bills. Fellas, have a nice weekend.
As someone who's going to be there, I hope it's not. Is that okay? Like, if you could...
All right, fellas. For you guys, all right.
All right, thank you. Yeah, I hope it's not awful.
I'll be indoors, so, I mean, you know, good luck if it's... It's not supposed to rain or snow.
So. One of my favorite questions of this week, though, is, let's say it is awful. Who gets the advantage there? My answer in that scenario for most teams is, no, the bad team. Of the two... The weaker team.
Then that's the Bills.
The weaker team gets the advantage when weather is bad because weather makes you closer. Weather pulls teams closer together. The teams that have more skill, more speed, more everything can't do things with the precision that they might want to. You have to put some things away. So the underdog is almost always helped in that spot. Look at when San Francisco played Washington, right? They beat them by 9.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
nine
well, that was
to nothing.
Crazy weather.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get a really
bad
weather.
It obliterated anything.
Yep. You get a game like that,
yeah.
More often than not, you'll start seeing people bet the under, scores come down. When scores come down, tougher to have a blowout when the score is low. So if it's really bad and the wind is really bad, and both passing games are eliminated, I mean, that's advantage Baltimore, right?
Then we have a 2.5-hour football game.
Maybe.
Advantage Baltimore because their running game is so darn good.
It's better.
Yeah,
the Bills is.
Yeah, it is.
But the
Bills
definitely
better.
Don't have a bad running game.
No, but Baltimore's has been much more effective.
But even so, that means fewer possessions. That means red zone will matter. That means the score comes down. That means the game, the clock ticks faster. So even in that scenario, while I might say that Baltimore has the better run game, I might switch right to, well, I think weather does help the Bills because I think weather helps the underdog.
Let's do trivia. Speaking of running, I think this will be pretty easy. You guys will be able to run the table, I think. Let's go with this. We are looking at the Baltimore Ravens in town Sunday with Lamar Jackson. He has 977 rushing yards this season. That is the second best single season all time for a quarterback. So we're looking for the top 10 single seasons, rush yards, quarterback, all time. Lamar's number two. There are six other players, three active, three retired. The other six quarterbacks, top 10 single season rush yards. I'm going to give you number three because this guy played for the Bears in the early 1970s. I'm going to guess neither of you could get that. So if you don't mind, I will just give you that name.
Sure.
Bobby Douglas with either
grown. Nope.
Yeah, okay, fine. So the other guys you should all get, whether you need a clue or not. Okay? Top 10 single season rush yards by a quarterback. Name the other five.
Cam Newton.
He is number 9 and 10 on the list.
I'll go Michael Vick.
Michael Vick is number 1, 15, 18. Actually, I'm sorry. 1,039. He's 1, 5, and 8. So you got two of the guys done. You're missing number 4, number 6, and number 7.
I mean, Colin Kaepernick?
No, sir.
Randall Cunningham.
Randall Cunningham is number 4 all time with 942 yards. So you're missing now 6 and 7. Both of these guys are active.
Russell Wilson?
He is number 6, 849 yards in 2014. So number 7 is the last guy on the list. He's active, finger quotes.
Alex Smith.
No, but you're in the right concept here. He's not starting. He's a backup. You want a clue? Heisman Trophy winner.
He's RG3.
RG3. Yeah. NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2012. Ran for 815 yards. Those are your top 10. And again, so Lamar Jackson, if he gets 63 yards on Sunday against the Bills, we'll move into the number one spot all-time in single-season rush yards for a quarterback and set the new record, breaking Michael Vick's. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. It is Football Friday. Murph coming up in a moment to break down Bills-Ravens game on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Feels like a game that is going to be one where, you know, we have, of course, victory Mondays in the NFL where players get the day off in some cases after a win. Both of these teams might need to give Monday off to their teams because this one's going to involve a lot of hard hitting. I don't know specifically what the forecast is for Sunday, but it's Western New York. It's December. I'd imagine it'll be cold, perhaps wet. Who knows? But this is the kind of game where nobody leaves with a clean jersey. It's going to be that physical of a game between two teams who have been outstanding so far this year.
That is Field Yates from ESPN. It's not supposed to be wet. Be cold. Windy.
Cold.
Cold. Low to mid-40s, but windy. 15 to 20 miles an hour with gust to 30. Sabres lost to Calgary last night, 4-3. Sam Reinhart, Jake McCabe, Jack Eichel got the goals. Eichel extends his point streak to 11 games with that late goal. The Sabres were 1-for-7 on the power play. Special teams was a big mess last night. Not only did they not score enough on the power play, they gave up a shorthanded goal. They'll be in Vancouver tomorrow night. Tomorrow afternoon. That's a 4 o'clock game. We'll have it on WGR. The Bruins lost to Chicago in overtime. Also in the division last night, Montreal lost to Colorado. Tampa lost to Minnesota. Let's get you a check of the NHL, updated NHL standings, brought to you by attorney Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney. Your ticket to justice. The Sabres would have... Actually, no, I'm sorry. They're still in third place. They're 31 points in the Atlantic Division, a point ahead of Montreal and Toronto. They are actually tied with Florida. Florida's in second with 31. Tampa is a couple points back of Buffalo with 29, so still a tight grouping there from 2 through 6, really, in the Atlantic Division. Again, your updated NHL standings brought to you by attorney Arthur Pressman, Western New York's traffic and DWI attorney, your ticket to justice. The Bills play Sunday against the Ravens. TJ Yeldon and Quentin Spain sat out practice yesterday because of illness. Chicago beat Dallas in Thursday Night Football, 31-24. Yanks reportedly will make a big offer to free agent pitcher Garrett Cole, and the Bandits open their season tomorrow night. They'll be home at 7 o'clock to take on the San Diego Seals. Those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us. Standing by. I'll do that later. Standing by on our Western hotline is John Murphy. He'll have the call of Sunday's game with Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio here on WGR. His Football Friday segment brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills. What's up there, Mr. Murphy? Happy Football Friday.
Thank you, Howard. Same to you.
Murph, you got to be looking forward to this Sunday's game. I think, you know, as a broadcaster, it's one of those games you get really pumped up for because, you know, the atmosphere is going to be fantastic. It's a big game, biggest home game since the 04 finale. I mean, it's got to be right up there, right, in the last 15 years.
Yeah, last 15 or 20, yeah. And I get pumped up for most games. But, yeah, you're right. This one especially, you know, a meaningful December game where they've been in short supply in these parts for decades now. And this is a really interesting game, I think. I've been thinking about it. Well, we've had 10 days between games, or we will have had 10 games between games, and a lot of time to think about it. I found myself, you know, going to the Baltimore tape looking for schematic solutions, like what do you do with this guy, Lamar Jackson? How do you handle this? And then by the end of the first tape I watched, I thought it's not really schematic. It's physicality. They are probably the most physical team I've seen all season long. They pound you. They run it more than anybody else. They run it 37 times a game. The Bills run it 30 times a game, which is third in the league. But they run it. They're physical. The tight ends are great blockers. They have a 300-pound fullback who wants to plow people over. Great tough runner in Mark Ingram. And, of course, the quarterback who breaks all the the molds and all the prototypes of the way he plays. A really fun and interesting team to watch and a really big challenge for the Bills.
So if you're the Bills, if you're Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott and the Bills, how do you try and counter that kind of physicality, that kind of beef up front?
It's physicality. You got to tell your players, hey, be ready. We're gonna have to try to beat them down. I think there's a the more you look for, you know, and I plan on doing more research on this, I guess, in the next 48 hours, but the more you look for schematic solutions, the less you find. I think it has a lot to do with being disciplined, and players have talked about being disciplined with their eyes this week against this opponent, you know, because the read option fakes are spectacular. It's a viable option. He can give it to Ingram. He can keep it himself. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson here. And it's tough to find sometimes. He's such a great handler of the ball that it's tough to find exactly where the ball is. And so I think the guys want to wait and make sure that he's got it or Ingram has it. And while you wait, you're falling behind, you know. That makes it very difficult. And then it's just physicality to it. Again, maybe I'm putting that ahead of schematics right now, just, you know, pounding him and making him pay the price if he wants to run it 15, 20 times a game, making the Lamar Jackson pay the price, putting him down on the ground, putting him down hard. I think that'll go a long way towards deciding the outcome of this game.
Murph, I think, you know, you look at Baltimore, one of the reasons why it's such a tough matchup against them is they have so many different options. It isn't just, you know, stop Lamar Jackson. And in their running game, you know, you got to deal with Mark Ingram. You got to deal with Gus Edwards. You mentioned the tight ends. I'm going to guess they're the deepest in terms of tight ends. How many teams have three tight ends that are among their top five receivers? And then you have, you know, the really good rookie in Marquise Brown, too, in their receiving corps. So it's multifaceted. They offer so many different challenges to try and deal with.
Yeah, they do, and it's extremely well-coached, and I think the world of Greg Roman, their offensive coordinator, did a good job here in a little bit more than a year. You know, there are limits to their offense. They don't throw it to outside the numbers very often. They don't throw it to the outside terminals very often. When they do find Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin and some of the other receivers, they're typically on crossing patterns over the middle. You'll find the more you watch them that Lamar Jackson wants to throw to the middle of the field and not to the outside, not outside the numbers. So that's a limitation. The tight ends are solid, three of them. They've combined for 101 catches. What they really do well is block, I think, and that's part of the physicality they bring to the game. And they'll line those tight ends up in the backfield at the line of scrimmage, line them up as fullbacks, and they just want to pound people. And I think I'm not saying it's not a perfect offense. It's unique. But what really makes them go is their physicality, I believe, and that's what the Bills are going to have to try to match.
John Murphy with us, 803-0550 for your Bills-Ravens questions, comments, opinions. Murph, you know, you always put together storylines. One of them going into the Dallas game would have been, how does Josh Allen handle the big stage and the spotlight and all that stuff, national TV? And I feel like we're going to be bringing this up with you for at least the next three games, because this is a big game, a big stage against what a lot of people will say is the best team in football. And then there's a primetime game in Pittsburgh that could have playoff implications in terms of clinching. And then who knows what happens in the next 2 weeks. Maybe they're playing for the division in New England. So how do you think, I guess, I'm asking you to look into your Murph crystal ball. How do you think Josh handles the big stage Sunday? And having gone through some pressure in Dallas, could that help him deal with what's about to come?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think he handles it well. And even with these big games coming up, I'd be stunned if there's any TV audience bigger than the 32.5 million who watched the Thanksgiving Day game in Dallas. There's nobody, you know, that's going to be the number one rated regular season game of the year, I think, in terms of viewers. And, you know, my partner during the week, Steve Tasker, has pointed this out a lot since the Dallas game, how, you know, Josh has this, had this, we talked about a lot early this season, this record of fourth quarter comeback wins, and he's done that, indicating that he handles the pressure, he handles the, you know, the tight situations. And now you've got the Dallas game and a couple of others where big audience, big stage, and a couple more coming up over the next month, as you propose. And yeah, I think it's pretty evident that he handles the pressure pretty well. He's done it already, I think, so far in his, what, 23, 24, this will be his 24th NFL start, I believe. I mean, he's handled the pressure in the big stage so far, so there's no reason to think he won't continue to do so.
Do you think this will be one of the best secondaries he'll face all season? I know we would have talked about that before the New England game. You know, there might have been a guy or two, another, but I think in terms of the unit, whether it's a quartet or nickel, whatever, this would be one of the top challenges for him, right?
I guess, yeah. I'm trying to think who else it may be, and so you want to make him best. I'd have to think about that and maybe look over the schedule and the people who are playing. It's a good secondary. I'll tell you the truth, I like Buffalo's secondary better than the Ravens' secondary, just in terms of out-and-out talent. Earl Thomas has a big name. I don't know if he's living up or playing up to that big name, a pretty good free agent acquisition that they had. Marcus Peters, another big name, who I think had some tough moments against the 49ers last week. So they've got some stars back there. Like I said, I'd rather have Buffalo's defensive backfield right now than Baltimore's.
What's the biggest key for the Bills' offense on Sunday to try and beat Baltimore's defense?
Physical. Be ready to pound it. You know, I think they got to get outside with the run game. They're both going to want to run. But I think there's avenues outside the tackles for the Bills to make some yardage there. And fortunately for them, Devin Singletary has been great outside the tackles. I think he's one of the top outside runners in the NFL in terms of yards per carry. So that would be the key. Run the ball. Make sure you get to the perimeter. Run it to the outside and be ready to be physical. You know, as much as the Baltimore offense is physical, the defense is right there with them with some big, strong, big linebackers and a pretty good defensive front. So the Bills are going to have to win this one in the trenches. I look for kind of a slugfest, you know, smash-mouth game. I think it'll be fun to watch.
Final thing for you, Murph. I want to ask you a little bit about Cole Beasley the last two games. You know, we talked a lot about him going back to training camp and how he could turn out to be a really key pickup and a big weapon. And as John Brown has emerged, I think he's also drawn more attention of opposing defenses. Can you talk a little bit about Beasley? Because I think in the last two games, you know, not just the Dallas game, but even the Denver game, he's come up really big and helped out the passing game.
Yeah, I think, you know, Josh Allen is just still in the process of getting used to Cole Beasley and some of the other weapons he has at his disposal, including the tight ends. I think Dawson Knox has more to offer this offense. But,
yep.
Beasley is so reliable and does a great job of getting open. And I think he's, you know, he can see the field well, and he can convey that. He can communicate that with Josh Allen helping him there. So as good as he's been the last couple of weeks, I think there's more for Beasley to do in this offense, and I think we'll see it down the stretch here.
Enjoy the game Sunday. We'll talk about it with you Monday morning.
Okay, thanks, Howard.
John will have the call with Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio on the broadcast, of course, Sunday here on WGR. Murph's appearance on Football Friday brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills. 803-0550 to join us for your Bills, Ravens predictions, comments, opinions, questions, what have you. Speaking of Sal, he's on the sideline Sunday. This afternoon, he'll be at the M&T Bank branch on South Park Avenue in Hamburg. We invite you to come on out and visit him from noon until 2. You can also support M&T Bank's Gift of Warmth Drive. They'll be collecting new hats, scarves, mittens, and coats. So if you can drop something off, much appreciated. Plus, Hall of Famer Thurman Thomas will be on hand. So get a chance to meet Thurman, get a picture, get an autograph, talk to Sal about the game Sunday. It's going on today at the M&T Bank branch on South Park Avenue in Hamburg, and that is from noon until 2. Hey, it is, you know it's the holiday season when we get a visit from this gentleman. Mark Croce is with us, owner of Buffalo Chop House, and we got a lot of ground to cover with him. He always comes in before the holidays. Mark, nice to see you and your son Dominic again.
Nice to see you. Dominic, say hello.
Hi.
Dominic's picking the Bills to beat the Ravens on Sunday.
He is. The McDermotts are his neighbors, and he's here to cheer on the Bills and tell them if they win, he's going to treat them to a nice steak dinner.
Yeah, steaks are on him. I like that. That's pretty good with all the trimmings and everything.
You're not going to do that?
No.
You're not going to dig into your piggy bank?
Dad'll pick up the tab.
Okay, we'll figure it out.
So let's start with your deal for Buffalo Chop House. It is that time of year where people are giving gift cards, and you can save some money right now by going to getmyperks.com.
It's a great deal. I mean, you get a $50 gift certificate for only $25, unlimited. You can buy as many as you want. And you know, people looking for stocking stuffers or just gifts for friends and family, you know, there's always that $25 price point that people are looking for to have something. And you get, you know, basically twice your money's worth. So we do this once a year with you folks, and we come down and work with all your radio stations, and it seems to be one of the most popular perks. And we're looking forward to selling close to 1,000 of them again this year.
Chop House, Buffalo Chop House, whether it's the meats or, you know, the overall menu, what do you think, or the atmosphere, what makes it a special place?
Dominic, what makes the Buffalo Chop House special?
Tomahawks. Better say
the tomahawk steaks.
The tomahawks. I was going to say dad.
Not dad. No, it's not dad. It's not dad. No, it's that's his favorite steak is a tomahawk. I don't know when he learned to have such expensive taste, but he must take after his mother. But anyway, yeah, it's the steak, the seafood, the ambiance, everything. We have the whole package at the Buffalo Chop House. It's been a staple in downtown Buffalo you know, for almost 20 years now, and just people, it's a tradition. We have free valet parking 365 nights a year. We're open every night, including Christmas Eve and Christmas night, you know, Christmas Day night. Very, very popular on both of those nights. Believe it or not, there are two of our biggest nights of the year. There's nowhere else to go, and folks that have family in and friends in from out of town, it's tough to get a reservation. We open at noon and go through to 8 o'clock, and we'll do close to 500 dinners each night. So we're looking forward to both those holiday nights this year.
Always a good place to stop, whether you're going to a show or maybe you're hopping the train, heading downtown for a game at the arena.
Right. We do a lot of business with when there's a game downtown or when there's a concert downtown. And then we just do a lot of general business year-round. We're right across the street from Shays Performing Arts Center, and you can't miss it when you walk out of the Shays, you look across, and there's the big neon sign, Buffalo Chop House.
Nice to park down there and just walk to the dinner and then walk to the show.
And, you know, I don't know if you remember, but parking, we try to take the hassle out of it by offering free valet parking both there and at the Curtis Hotel. We always have free valet for folks that have come in just for a cocktail, a dinner, or they're coming in to stay overnight. Nobody pays for parking with Buffalo Chop House or the Curtis Hotel.
Ice Ball is back this year. Can you share some of the details for this year's big party?
Yeah, this is going to be a big one. I mean, we're planning on about 1,500 people for the Ice Ball. Tickets have been selling briskly. We extended the early bird pricing because we had a lot of people asking if we could continue the same pricing for a little longer, but they're trying to get their funds together to make it a night out, and that's going to be great. We're featuring Party of Nine on the big stage. We got a lot of different entertainment, great food, open bar, premium bar. All the details are on StatlerCityIceBall.com, or even if you just went to StatlerCity.com, you can press the link and be taken over to the Ice Ball page where you can pick a table. And then we have the nightclub experience in the lower level in the Niagara Room that is a much more affordable ticket that doesn't have the same elaborate food displays and things of that nature. So it's going to be a great time. The ticket includes everything. It includes your parking. It includes your coat check. It includes service charge tax. I mean, you pay one price, and all the food, all the drink, the open bar, top shelf liquor. We're featuring Grey Goose again this year, and it's going to be a blockbuster night.
If you get it, now you said you have lots of different bands, types of music going on through the building, and if you get the ticket, you can hop from room to room, basically.
Right, you go anywhere in the building. The only limitation is if you buy the nightclub ticket for the Niagara Room, then you're limited to that room. But if you buy any of the tickets in any of the other rooms, you can go from the DJs to the Party 9 band with the big band. You can go anywhere, and the food, and you can you basically have an assigned seat when you buy the ticket, but you're welcome to bounce from room to room and enjoy the different entertainment in all the different rooms.
So you're going
to
be a busy guy on New Year's Eve. You got to check out the party at the Curtis Hotel, too. You're going back and forth from party to party because you got something at the hotel, right?
Yeah, but we're doing a Roaring Twenties party at the View Rooftop Lounge, and that was something my employees came up with. They wanted to run with it this year, so kind of gave them a creative license to put that together, and those tickets are almost sold out. We only have a couple handfuls left for that party because we don't have quite the space we have at Statler City, mm-hmm. and we have to save a certain amount of space for the people that have already reserved hotel rooms for that night because we're almost sold out at the hotel already for New Year's Eve. So that's going to be another popular event, and you put them all together on New Year's Eve, you're probably talking 2,500 people between the Buffalo Chop House, the Curtis Hotel, Statler City. I mean, we're going to ring in the new year right this year again.
So statlercity.com for the ice ball.
Right.
For your party at the Curtis Hotel.
CurtisHotel.com.
And then for your perks for Buffalo Chop House. And it is underway right now. And these will go fast. Mark, you know that. These fly off the internet, if you will.
Fly off the shelves.
I was going to say shelves. The internet, right?
It's a digital shelf.
They fly off the computer screen.
There you go.
It's $50. You get it for only $25 for Buffalo Chop House. And if you want to get those, go for yourself or to give out as a gift, go to getmyperks.com. As I mentioned, they are already available. Nice to see you. Thanks for the visit, as always.
Great to see you, and go Bills. Dominic, what do you have to say? Go Bills?
Go Bills.
Nice. He's got the hotel cap. That's nice.
He's
nice
got
touch.
The hotel. Yeah. He's doing advertising.
Tomahawk steaks.
Say hi to your friends in the Buffalo Bills.
Hi and bye.
Hi. I like him. He's a man of few words.
Yeah, a man of few words.
All right, we'll get a break. We'll be back with Scaff and Sean McDermott in the next hour on Football Friday on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.